Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up.
Yeah, I can never get a foot massage. Just because I'd be constantly thinking about how bad I feel for the person who was having to touch my feet.
Yes.
I almost offered for a second.
Like, this has got to be awful for her.
Wait, oh, you don't like, gosh. Like a toe job?
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah. Right?
You'd have to be a psychopath to get joy right out of that, watching that.
You'd be surprised.
Well, I mean,
place an ad on Craigslist. You'll see what psychopaths you could find.
She'd have to bring out the sander. It'd be like...
Feet in general are like the nastiest things in the world.
Especially guys' feet, too.
Oh, dude. Just... Yeah, I've got fucking Flintstone feet. Are you kidding me? You would think I was driving the fucking Flintstone mobile.
Yeah, some of my friends, man, that shit looks like they're into Chinese foot binding.
And then they wear fucking awful sandals. Like, why are you wearing sandals?
Yeah. Or they got the peanut butter toenails. Oh, my God. That shit scares me.
So wrong. Man.
It just feels like death. It feels like the first step in death. Getting that brown look underneath your toes. I had a buddy growing up. He had it the whole time when we were growing up. It was so crazy. But.
Wow.
Yep, men's feet are the most disgusting thing out there, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, apparently like 3/4 of dudes have a foot fetish. That's what I've experienced. But I read that somewhere. I'm like, that sounds about right. But yeah. Like... I don't know. I dated this one guy who always wanted to put my feet in his mouth. It was just so ticklish. I would just kick him in the face every time.
Oh, God. So, yeah, that'd be tough.
But it was worth paying my rent.
So. Oh, my God. That's so good.
That would be tough.
How is your uncle, by the way?
He's good. Oh, Chester, terrible. He's a good guy.
Chester's great.
Jesus.
Great tipper.
Serious.
Coming out hot here. All right, before we get too far in, let's do this thing right. Welcome to An Earful in the Emerald City. Thanks for listening. You guys are tuning in right now. We appreciate it. Good to see you guys. How you guys been? First day of fall here. Well, we're recording on the first day of fall, technically. Fall's upon us. But, you know, those leaves, they're just so beautiful.
And
they're
the so pumpkin spice lattes.
Oh, my God. If people don't stop with this, I'm going to fucking lose it.
Yes.
All right?
Dude.
This pumpkin spice epidemic, it's gone on for too long.
I got pumpkin spice lube the other day.
Oh, my God. Pumpkin for the spice basics. Lube.
Yeah.
Yeah, for that.
That's a thing.
For that cozy,
definitely for her.
For that cozy fall feeling, you know? God, it's ridiculous. But hey, thank you guys for joining us today. We got a good show for you. Little different here. We're mixing it up today. No Marcus. He is halfway across this great United States in Kansas Street. City.
Yeah.
He's hanging out over there for the weekend. We worked him too hard, you know?
Happens.
He was putting in almost 2 hours a week.
He was.
So,
PTO.
You can only do so much.
I think in fairness and having listened to the podcast, I think with everything going on in the world right now, giving Marcus a week off, probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. Before the rides start up again.
Yeah.
He gets a little excited.
And you know what?
He gets a little excited.
And he has every right to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so. No doubt. But no, we got some good replacements here, though, for you guys. We got... first timer here, a good friend of mine. Now, just did a show with him last night down in Seattle at the Rendezvous. joining the show, Jamie Guerrero.
Hanging out
with us in studio here.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Good to be here. And we got a fan favorite, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah. a recent guest and a second timer here. Woo. Mrs. Kelsey Carberry.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining
me.
Us.
Such a
very last notice.
I didn't think you'd let me come back here, to be honest.
I was about to say, I thought I was going to maybe have to give you like an Indian burn to convince you
like,
to show up.
What are you doing?
But then again, I can't really give you an Indian burn if you're not here. Yeah, if you're not here, I'm going to drive to your house.
Like,
okay, I'll do the show. I'll do the show. All right, I'll follow you.
The way you came in the door, I was like, she's been here before. She has clearly been in this
seasoned veteran.
Yeah.
She has.
She knows what she's doing. But yeah, they're joining us today. So We got ourselves a delightful one. Man, it's been quite the week here, like we said. Yes. Falls upon us. I actually saw my breath the other day for the first time.
Oh, my gosh.
It's well, like, what happened to summer? Like, I feel like we missed out.
Yeah, up here in South Everett. Yeah, of course you would.
Oh, how dare you? I mean, how dare you,
shame.
Sir?
I grew up
How dare you? There is next to no heroin addicts in this neighborhood, okay?
Almost yeah, because
almost.
They don't have the money or the transportation to get here.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, the Uber driver pulled over. He's like, I'm gonna need snacks. This is nuts.
I'm not that far off the freeway.
It's like... That's
no,
it's
not central that, location. Not that bad.
If you, I guess you're in West Seattle, but it's nice the E line is right through here. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's no, true. I've taken that. That's when I think when I did the show at Daryl's, I took the E line.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's where you see some Daryl's. Pretty good stuff.
Daryl's stuff on the bus. The place you go to feel good about yourself. Yeah. More so was after I did the I did Daryl's and then I did the Asylum. Right after that, it was the first Asylum. So.
Wow.
I think we all do, like, you want to get out there and support when guys are opening a new room, and it's Levi and Mike, and really, and the room is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're only playing to, like, six people, because that's all it can hold.
Yeah, I hear it's kind of
But it's so good. Like, the six people are in it, and you feel good, and the comics are, like, outside looking in the window. It's just, it's yeah, totally it's good
creepy.
Vibe.
It's got that creepy vibe yeah, to it. Yeah,
it
exactly.
seems like Masolati and Levi.
Yeah, Levi the bigger the beard, the creepier it is.
They're, like,
obviously.
Drawing pictures on the window in their breath.
I had to take the E-line back downtown, and I went to the bus stop, and I saw some pretty crazy shit. Like, woman was talking to a pigeon that wasn't there, and I was like... Yeah, how do you not laugh at that? Because she turned around and she's like, "Can you believe this pigeon?" And I was like, "What pigeon?" And she goes, "This one." And she pointed down at nothing. There was nothing there. And I thought to myself, you might have to, like, fight this woman.
Jesus.
And this pigeon, apparently.
Yeah. Right? If you're going to make something up.
Like... Yeah.
Go a little bolder than pigeon, you know? Do, be talking to, like, a monkey or a horse or something. You're like, oh, no, this elephant.
She was convinced. Yeah. She was in 100%.
A pigeon?
100%.
A sky rat?
Yeah.
I mean, Wob. Come on. That's how you know she's definitely crazy.
Oh, yeah, she was definitely.
Yeah, there's you'll see some stuff there, man. Like I said, we talked about this last week on the show, but, yeah, they got the safe space sticker on the outside of the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it feels super safe all the time.
Yeah. Nope.
All the time.
That's where I leave all my babies.
Yeah. But no, sometimes you got to do it, though. You know, sometimes you got to support
better,
local transit.
Buses. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bus everywhere.
Yeah. Usually. If you got a little extra time on your hands.
I got tired of people smelling my hair. So.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I'm getting a car. I fucking, I couldn't deal.
Do you know always when they're going for it, or is anybody sneaky enough?
They just, you know, and it's always weird because they always, like, try to play it off like they're trying to do something. Like, oh, my shoe fell off. I got to chase it down this alley. Or not alleyway, but down this aisle. And so they, like, get up and they sit right behind you.
You're
like,
I'm four foot nine. Like, really?
I know. I was like, I could be a child. Like, from the back, definitely could be a child.
It's probably why they're doing it.
Yeah.
If we put a backpack on you,
yeah, I got like a Hello Kitty backpack.
Yeah.
And then
really bright
Chris
colors.
Hansen comes in. He's like, this is the third time. Come
Seriously.
On.
Why don't you have a seat?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I gotta go change
the
laundry
on the bus.
Over.
Yeah.
Like, have a seat. Well, my bus isn't, or my stop isn't for a couple.
They've updated a lot of, like, sexual harassment videos to include sniffing. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, it's so creepy.
And I'm like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, somebody walks by and they smell good. I'll appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, like, walking up. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's just, that's really creepy.
See, yeah, I, like, I was actually on the bus. So the tables are turning. I was on the bus and there's this guy sitting in front of me. And I could smell his cologne. And I was like, hey, not to be real creepy or anything, but what are you wearing? Like, what? Like, scent are you wearing that smells really good? And he was like, oh, no, that's not creepy at all. And I was like, oh, I think it's just like when a guy asks you, I guess it's creepier.
Yeah.
And I just assume I'm creepy.
Yeah.
As a general rule.
It's just not as easy to creep out a guy like that.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like, I mean, there's different levels, you know, it's like, you can't be sniffing a girl's hair. I mean, if she's going to get up from her chair and leave the room, I'll go sniff that chair. I mean, that's...
Just, like, right on the seat.
But I wait till she leaves, though.
Right.
I wait till she's gone. Yeah, it's like you don't want to, no one needs to see that. All right,
it's classy.
I feel like I need to see that now. Yeah, it's like hold up.
This guy I used to work with at a car dealership actually told me that for the first time. This guy was fucking ridiculous. That industry is just crooks and neckties. Oh. Just people who will do the grimiest shit just to make a dollar. Like they don't even give a fuck.
Right.
It is. It's yeah. My my business partner in the t-shirt company that I own is one of my best friends, and it's back in New England, and him and his family own a Subaru dealership. Oh. And the stories he'll tell me about the sales guys and the mechanics and stuff. And I mean, he's like a legit cool dude, family man, works his ass off. But I told him, I'm like, you need to get up on stage because some of the shit that you'll see. Yeah, I think he told me once that, you know, one of the guys, no, actually it was a different friend that told me this story, but the girlfriend came in or the mistress came into the dealership and caused a scene and like, you know, right in the middle of this guy's sale.
Oh, man,
I was like, what would you do? Time. Like, I would move. I could never go back there. I could never get
Brandy,
that job.
Calm down for just a second. She's right there.
She's right there.
My Jesus. Wife, Linda, hold on a second. Yeah. Where you guys are getting out of here? Cat fight. We got a mud pit up.
You got to seriously
take this care.
You got to fuck some shit up.
What do you guys think? Let's answer some questions here.
Yes.
What do you guys think about Subaru these days? Because I feel like this is a very local topic. I feel like, you know, there's a lot more around here than most places.
Well, it's like
I know Bellingham is like, I know Bellingham's like one of the most dense as far as
it's here in Vermont.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like the image of it has kind of changed recently, you know, like
gotten less dorky. I like Subarus because they're dependable. They're really fun to drive because you can like go off-roading a little bit. Also, lesbians love them, and I love lesbians. So it works out.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
No, they've changed it up a bit. Like, I have a friend who just got a Subaru a couple years ago, and it's a gorgeous car.
Yeah, they're definitely nice. Yeah. They got a lot of good makes and models and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just feel like some of the people driving them are like really douchey. A lot of like younger kids are like in them, and they just make them loud as fuck.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
when you go into this,
sounds like a rocket's going down the street. What the fuck?
My best friend drives one, and it is like it's all souped up and everything, but it's just how he bought it, and you know, he does sometimes drive like the Fast and the Furious. We were coming back from seeing a concert in Everett, and he just like opened it up one night on the highway, and I was like, this is disgusting. Like this
how
isn't
dare
even
you drag
it's
me
not,
into
yeah
this?
It's not fun.
Yeah,
like I don't understand any of that stuff. Like just, you know, it's a sensible car.
Yeah, people like just pushing that limit, man, you know.
No. You pushing the limit in the Subaru up front?
No, that thing is...
What do you get up to?
That thing is...
45.
That thing is an oversized paperweight at this point.
My first car is completely useless. First car was a Subaru.
Completely useless. I've had a Subaru. My last car was a Subaru. And they definitely make good cars. Yeah. They're quality. And the all-wheel drive is nice. You can get to the mountain and all that stuff. But... Douches and lesbians. Yeah.
My favorite.
I guess it could be worse. It could be worse.
Those are my
you
two
know?
Types. I'm bisexual.
What about douchey lesbians?
Oh, those are my favorite.
Do they make those?
They do.
Do they make
Trust
those?
Trust me.
Really?
I'll open up a can of worms.
They're my favorite.
But lesbian women out here, it's a very lesbian women and gay men. We just don't coexist. Like, we're cool. Like, we'll coexist if, like, there's a fight or a beatdown or something like that. Yeah, like when everything happened in Orlando, or like if there's like a benefit show or something, totally down. Like I did a show at the Wild Rose, and I actually had a lot of friends that came to the show that lived in Capitol Hill.
Oh,
and
nice!
I was like, oh, cool. But I made a joke and I said, because that's what I do, right? And I said, wow, I think this is the first time that there have been more men in the Wild Rose than women.
Wow.
And the owner was basically like, fuck you to me. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to tarnish your reputation as being, you know, the pussy box of Capitol Hill. But, it's very weird. Like, you don't go to gay bars in Seattle and see a lot of women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they hang out. It's very segregated.
Right.
And they just don't like, you know, it's like we tolerate each other because we have the same common cause. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like, a lesbian wouldn't save me if I was drowning. She'd be like, one less in the world.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Is it, does she think that you guys are making them look bad? Is
I don't
that,
know.
Is
I that, mean,
you know, are you taking the gay thing and you're just fucking it up?
Maybe.
Is that what they're thinking?
Maybe. I mean, but like, I know, I mean, we're not all bad people like that, but I would be cool. I'd love to hang out with a lesbian or two. Play some pool, talk about Subarus.
Yeah.
I love Melissa Etheridge, the Indigo Girls. Like, yes. Every stereotype is, I want that in my lesbian. Like, I don't want the lipstick lesbian.
Oh, sorry.
You probably want the lipstick.
That's
because
they don't want that because they don't make those, actually.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a
unicorn.
Myth unicorn. Yeah, it's like a unicorn or a Pegasus. God damn. Oh, man. Yeah, lesbians, that's... I will say that I get along well with them.
Yeah.
I think probably because I'm a non-threatening guy. So,
do you get heartbroken though if you're like I don't even know what you'd call it. You're like hitting on a lesbian and then you find out she's a lesbian?
I don't think that's ever really happened, man. So to be honest.
Okay, good.
It's the opposite. You're straight.
Yeah, that would be crushing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would totally be crushing.
That'd be some pretty good bragging points.
Yeah. I've dated a lot of guys that ended up, they discovered they were gay later. Does that count? Like, right after we had sex. Like, the day after. You're like, you know what? I'm kind of over a vagina. I'm just done. They're retired. Yeah, that's happened a few times.
It's not for me.
It's not
for me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe it's me, but I was like, oh, it couldn't be.
I guess I am.
No. But like Gaga said, they're born this way, you know?
Yeah, they are. And they just happen to find it out.
I don't know. There's a term for it. I guess I'm not.
I feel like guys more than the girls, you know, kind of switch back and forth with it, kind of mess around with it.
Well, yeah. See, I get, well, like, since I'm bisexual, people are just like, oh, you're just, because, like, I've heard from people, like, that have a lot of doubts about it. They're like, oh, you sure you're not just a lesbian? I was like, I'm pretty fucking sure at this point.
I love dick. You know? Like, yeah.
I love dick too much. No, I always make a joke, and this is horrible. I was like, I would be, like, every time someone asked me that, like, are you sure you're not just a lesbian? I was like, nah, I'd be a lesbian if it wasn't for women.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I right? And then I, like, high five.
Oh my God.
And that's a horrible joke, but I'm like, of course. It's like, you can like both. That's the whole reason. But
see, I think it's for you, it's good because it's a safety net later in life. Because, like, you could just, like, you know, you get a girlfriend. It doesn't have to be sexual at that point. Mm-hmm. When you turn 55 or something, you know, like, gay dudes are just out there fucking hitting up bathhouses. You'd be like, well, this is me and Pam. We have a condo here in Shoreline. We met on the E-line.
Yep.
She was sniffing my hair.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you could totally pull that off.
She had the most beautiful look on her face while she was sniffing my hair.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I was like, do you like feet?
Oh, my God. Because
I got rent to be paid.
Her little piggies were gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
She just likes to put my toes in her mouth.
That's when I kicked her in the face.
Yeah. Little toe jobs. No, do it for me.
Toe jobs.
I am not going to lie. I did not know that about you, Kelsey.
Yeah.
That I was bisexual?
I did not know this. Yeah.
Well,
seriously, so.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you listed that on Facebook or.
Something. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm bisexual. My family's on there. They would die.
I don't know how often you post about it, but.
Well, this is just
every
like.
Day, every
this
second.
Is another either. Either my act that gets taped or podcast, like my parents can't listen to, which is like, I always do something that will fucking totally, like when I just said, I love dick, I'm like, oh, can't send them this link.
Well, it could just be like a Richard that you really, or Dick's Burgers, that could have been it. Yeah.
My brother pre-screens everything that I do before he would even consider showing it to my parents.
Oh, that's fair.
And I'm like, hey, did you show them the copy of my set? He's like, dude, you told like 18 fucking dick jokes. No, I didn't show them. Mm-hmm. You know,
you didn't show dicks on stage.
No,
that's your first.
I should have.
Don't worry about it. Send them the link, man. I'll edit that shit out. You know, we'll edit that in post.
No, you can leave it in there. It's all right.
Yeah. No, my parents, my brother's gay. Well, I have 10 siblings, so one of my brothers is gay. And
is he cute?
He's really cute.
He's single?
He lives in Capitol Hill, actually.
Shut up.
Yeah.
No way.
No true story.
No way.
How old is he?
I'm 23. Megan's 27,
28.
He'll be
28.
He's 28?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, he's cute.
Does he like chubby guys?
I mean, we haven't.
Husky. You're husky.
Does
he have the big bone?
Yeah, no, he's. Yeah, he just slimmed down actually pretty recently. But I think
there you go.
Yeah, he's tall.
No, tall. Oh, I could love.
He's
tall.
Funnier than me too.
Tall does it for me.
So mm-hmm. Do you guys? Okay, you guys need to educate me here because I honestly don't have a lot of friends in this department.
Fair.
You might. You just don't know it.
Yeah. That could be true. That could be true.
You're just hanging out in the closet.
So, what are they doing in there?
Yeah.
That's why they come out dressed so well.
I know.
True story.
So do you think, since I brought it up, this is going to sound like a joke, but I'm kind of serious.
Oh, no.
You know, are you born this way, or is it like something that has to do with your circumstances as you're growing up?
110%.
Yeah. Like, as someone who's studying psychology, too, like, it's pretty hard to make someone gay, you know? Mm-hmm. But there are different theories on, you know, like, why people are, but... Yeah, like, you know, there's a lot of talk about the gay gene, which is, there's a whole other discussion about that. And then there's people that think it's circumstance. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, there's probably a good combination. Because the reason why they have theories like that is because they talk to people in their experience. So maybe someone was like, oh, this person was assaulted and that's why they're lesbian. You know, like there's a lot of reasons why those theories all have some form of validity behind it. But, I knew for the longest time. I just didn't realize it for the longest time. Like, I was always attracted to girls, and it took a conversation with a good friend of mine from high school, and she said something about, like, oh, yeah, she is attracted to women. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, like, I didn't realize that wasn't a normal thing.
Right,
and that's
right.
When I was like, I'm bisexual then, because I'm attracted to men, I'm attracted to women. But a lot of times people will just be like, oh, you're just indecisive if you're bisexual, you know, like make a choice, or you just like reaching down someone's pants and finding whatever and be satisfied with it, you know?
I had this conversation with my cousin's husband, and she's like a sister to me. So I call him like my brother-in-law, but Keith, and he was a Marine and just big sports nut, you know, works in the HVAC. Good dude. Awesome guy. And I was staying at their house one time, and I went out with some friends, and we were watching a football game, and he asked me, he said, dude, he's like, you know, I've always wanted to ask you this. I'm a little bit buzzed. And I was like, oh God, which direction is this conversation going? And he goes, you know, he goes, you've never been with a woman? I said, no. Mm-hmm. And he said, why not? I said, you know, I always knew, and I didn't want to hurt a woman. Like, imagine being that woman, like that you're exes. With a guy. Yeah, like you're with a guy, and then you find out, and you're like, in a woman's mind, at least to me, I always thought, like, she's going to think it was her, like she did something wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, was I bad at giving head? Like, what was the deal? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I always knew and everything. And he said, well, how do you know unless you tried it? So I was a little bit more coherent than him. And I said, you ever been with a guy? And he said, God, no. And I said, well, how do you know until you try it? And he's like, I'm going to fucking bed. And he like got up and left. But, you know, it was a very enlightening conversation for him that, you know, he had the same questions. Like, I don't know. You know, he's like, I don't know. Because even now, when it's more accepted in this world, people are still not exposed. Mm-hmm. In some circles, or, you know, just because you go to high school with a bunch of people, there are probably people that you went to school with that were gay, right?
Well, plus the stigma.
But you maybe you weren't friends with them. Maybe you weren't in that circle. You didn't know. And then you start asking that question. I hate it when people, like, when pretentious gays get offended, you know, like when people are asking questions, I'm like, fucking ask away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
it's curiosity. That's all it is. That's not bad.
Then that's the thing. Yeah. I just haven't really had that conversation with anybody ever.
Plus, it's an opportunity to educate someone.
Yeah.
And the reason why they're wondering is because they don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's the best way to, you know, enlighten them with that.
Yep.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, for me, you know, I mean, everybody, I think everybody like has some gay thoughts sometimes, you know, it definitely happens to me, but you know, you just shove those down and
you put that away.
Yeah. Just like sometimes, you know, you have coworkers that you want to just punch them right in the face, but you push that down, you know, and you let it bleed into your body and probably turn into cancer.
You have to.
It's
probably where cancer comes from.
That's gotta be.
Yeah.
Gay thoughts.
Oh my God.
The human mind is a trip, dude. It's such a trip. And some of the stuff that it does is just so weird. And I can't believe, even like with how much science and technology and how far it's come, how little we still know about the human brain. Like, ridiculous. We're barely cracking into that nut there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been
pun intended.
Thank you.
It's been
Thank you.
Decades of it too, and that's what's so funny. It's like I'm going into psychology, and it's interesting to kind of see like how much we think we know, but we have no fucking clue. Like there are some medications like antidepressants where we just don't know how they work, but we know they work.
Yeah, just you know. Give,
so
give
it's like
to people.
The more we know,
you won't
want to
kill
know.
Yourself though. No. So
well, yeah. Yeah, all for the name of science.
I tried all of them, and it was mm-hmm. none of them. I was like, nah, this doesn't.
You know. Really, really severe anxiety.
Yeah.
But like I'm like I read an article about like high functioning anxiety, and yeah. I feel like I have that because like I keep myself busy, and it's not like it prevents me from doing things necessarily. Where some people like I have really severe anxiety, but it's more in social situations, not yeah. like oh like things that might possibly happen that there could be no way that it happens, you know, not like a normal like.
Well, that's one of the things when yeah. you tell people that and you mm-hmm. you tell them I mm-hmm. mean I was hospitalized for it. I have mm-hmm. severe panic attacks and anxiety and shit.
Right,
and yeah. I you tell people and they're like, yeah, but you get up on stage. And I'm like yeah. yeah, but that's an outlet, like that's a release.
Severe anxiety in social situations. Let's go tell jokes in front of a bunch of random strangers.
See, yeah. it's for me, it's better if I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
Because, like, if I, like, I've had friends that show up at shows and it totally fucks me up.
Yeah.
Because, like, for one, my jokes are not the best one for
yeah.
people that, you know, I have to make eye contact with. But, you know, it's fine if I can just leave and never see them ever again and never yeah. have to make eye contact or right. meet their parents or things like that. You know?
Oh, my God.
You know, like, I'm so sorry. But, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely kind of messes with you when you got people in the, like I don't, I always get a little bit nervous, you right. know, before a show, mm-hmm. definitely. But if there's people that I know, I'm like, oh, God, okay, sure I can't fucking, I can't eat it tonight. This is going to be embarrassing if I do.
Yeah, see, I get so nervous. And people know I have really bad stage fright, too. But, yeah, it's like I hit, it's horrible.
How the heck are you going to do this show tomorrow?
Oh, good question. I got to figure it out. Because
yeah, you're both doing tomorrow.
That's going to be a yeah, good one. Yeah,
yeah you're both
yeah,
doing
tomorrow. What's the name of that one?
So it is Comic Roulette Belltown mm-hmm. Edition.
Comic Roulette?
Yeah. So it's basically, it's like 20, let's say 20 to 25, let's mm-hmm. be, you know, somewhere mm-hmm. around there. But mm-hmm. Quick 3-minute sets, but the mm-hmm. audience gets to throw curveballs. So on the way in, they get yeah. to write suggestions and... You know, stupid shit, but whatever. It gave, you know, gives you a little bit of chops to think on the fly.
And see, yeah. I like hecklers. That's one thing. I never thought I would be able to handle that. But I've always been really quick with, like, coming up with shit on stage. Like, one of my favorite things to do is riff off of someone's joke they just did.
Totally.
And that's, like, one of my favorite things. Like, there's a couple of comics. they made a couple of dick jokes, and I would just, like, right away just... take the mic like right as I go yeah. up like oh so you say your dick is like Falcor the fuck dragon, does that mean little boys ride it and it results
oh
in a dead
God.
horse, you know, like I'll do that and mm-hmm. I just ruin dick jokes and dicks but mm-hmm. I just ruin men and make them into dicks but no but that's one thing I love doing.
I size up the room and you can usually mm-hmm. tell who it's gonna be
really
in the very beginning, mm-hmm. and then I'm already thinking of stuff.
Oh,
one of the best
tear them apart.
One of the best heckler stories was down at the Pig Bar.
Oh, okay.
Down in Olympia, and they run a great show down there, and mm-hmm. a couple of us went down, and this table of like three women that were obnoxious, mm-hmm. and
like
just fuck, you know, just talking over, and they were a good like 70 feet away, mm-hmm. but Jesus, they were just taking up the room, and. Mm-hmm. I think I turned around and said something like, hey, DJ Stephanie, Kimmy, can you keep it down over there? Fucking, and the mm-hmm. room loved it. They didn't. And
no,
then, but it shut them up.
They never do.
And then mm-hmm. they did it when Kirkwood followed me. And mm-hmm. Kirkwood got up there. And he's like, hey, I know you're over there probably planning on something for Uncle Jesse and Joey. But it was like, he just picked right back up on it. And mm-hmm. like, everybody did it. Like, and it was so good because it put them in their place. And
right.
like... There are hecklers that like will make your set.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like that's
you
awesome. Thanks, but then
yeah.
there's some shit. If you're gonna be a heckler, be a fucking good heckler.
That's what I.
Don't
yeah.
be a shitty. Don't half ass it.
Yeah,
you
know, say something clever.
You're
at least.
Gonna interrupt me. Make yeah. it at least worth interrupting me for.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny though. You actually like the hecklers.
I do.
I haven't really had to deal with it to be honest. You know, it hasn't really happened. I mean, I get some loud crowds. You know, where there's like a lot of people out there talking.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, no hecklers really. They usually just don't even pay attention at all.
The first heckler I ever had was a couple months ago. that's your problem. They don't pay attention and they won't heckle you.
All I'm picturing
on Facebook.
I'm just picturing, like, you know, when you're doing your set, people are like, oh, now's a good time to go to the bathroom.
Right. Yeah. There's like, let's get a drink. Take a smoke break or something.
Oh, man, I felt bad. I felt bad for somebody went on last night and like three or four people all like different. They weren't even together, but they all got up at the same time. It's like, yeah, that's a terrible feeling. When a bunch of people just leave the room. You're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. See, I like using it like, oh, this is a good time to leave. You're right. You know, like I did this one joke. Well, I do really bad jokes is the problem. I did a really, really clever joke that I was very proud of. But I did a joke about fucking my English teacher.
Wow.
For a pair of underwear. So there's a whole long story with it. But I was like, right as I started, I was like, you know, you can't just fuck your high school English teacher for one pair of underwear. Am I right? And then people just left. I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
This is a good time to leave. I'm about to myself.
Yeah, that was probably a good decision.
Yeah, like, I don't know what's coming out of her mouth next, but we don't want to hear
like
it.
The first joke I did. But everyone was laughing. But yeah, there was, God. There's this one heckler at the same place, actually, at the 907, that she was super drunk and she like was like, come sit with us. And so I was like alone, like writing my jokes out. And I was like, ah, all right. And she was like, come have shots with me. My brother died. I was like, I don't drink. I'm sorry. And she was just like, oh. And I was like, no. She was like, oh, you can. I'm like, no, like I take a heart medication. I literally can't even.
Yeah.
But she was like super drunk already. And so she was like, oh yeah, sorry about the whole dead brother bit. I use that once a year. I'm allowed to use that once a year.
Whoa.
And I was like, I like her already. Let's see where this goes. But like Jesse Albert actually ended up saving me from that. He saw me like struggling to like get away from the situation. And so he was like, oh, come blah, blah, blah. Come over here for a second. And I was like, oh, I gotta go. I'm sorry.
I like it when they throw the heckler out.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
Like you and I were doing Three Lions, weren't we? And
the
woman, and she said something. It was something topical. It was about Trump.
And she
jumped in.
It was, wow. Oh man, that was
like
crazy.
And the bartender, the bartender came over and he was like, you got to go now.
It was this chick that Marcus brought.
Marcus brought, yeah.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah, Marcus brought her.
And then Marcus had to like take her out back. And then I went out back after my set. I was waiting for somebody, I forget who, and
yeah, she just
mean mugged
me. She just
me.
Yelled some random non sequitur like right in the middle of his set, and like the whole room like came to a halt, like the needles was scratching.
Wow!
Yeah. So don't do that. I have a microphone,
right?
Like everybody's looking at me. Nobody's facing you.
Yeah. See, what I like to do. That one heckler. I've had a few, but the first heckler I ever had, she was like. She was like, I'll fuck you right now. I'll fuck you right now. And I was like, okay, let's do it right now. No, that's it. I'm taking it. I'm taking the microphone with me.
Oh my God.
You know, like I was like, yeah, in the bathroom right after my set. I got you. I got you. And then she stopped. But like the best response I ever saw to a heckler was actually Bo Johnson. Mm-hmm. Someone screamed something out and he was like, uh-huh, my turn. And then just kept
oh my God,
going.
Yes.
You know, and like the dude just was like, oh, I get it. I'm not funny. I don't have a microphone.
Yeah.
And then it never happened again. But it was really, I love that though. When you're just like, all right. And then you just kind of roll with it.
So people
think they're funny. That's why. Or they think they're helping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to put their two cents in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how I deal with it though. It's funny. Cause I really don't think it's happened at all.
You gotta just be in the moment.
I'm going to do that next time I see you. I'm going to heckle the fuck out of you. I'm going to get thrown out of the comedy scene.
Hey lady, why don't you take it easy? All right.
my other favorite too is you can actually get, I'm not going to mention any names, but
right.
I'll mention them after. But
right.
You get people that will
we'll talk after.
You get some shitty comedians that will come up to you and you'll be like, hey, you know what would be funnier is if you did this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what would be fucking awesome if you didn't tell me how to do my own shit.
Right.
Like, you know, I appreciate the fucking feedback, but I'm getting booked on stuff and
you're not.
You're still fucking grinding it out at Mike's seven nights a week.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, just relax for a few minutes, okay? Mm-hmm.
Like work on you, don't work on me. That's what I always.
Yeah. And it, you know, with experienced people, oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
But experienced people are
well,
if
it's got to be people
it,
that you trust, and,
right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not just any random person.
Yeah,
like somebody you talk to, you have a good relationship with.
I mean, I had one. I'll mention this one because it was a good one. He's respected. It was Josh Chambers.
Oh, okay.
And we did a benefit show at the Highline, and it was like 150 people. It was huge.
Packed.
It was great. Yeah, it was great. Great for a PHRA, People's Harm Reduction Alliance, and they basically that agency or that group is they do a lot of good stuff with like functioning drug users, and like like, hey, not all drug users are, you know, like removing the stigma and everything. So that I thought
a lot of us
cool.
are high all day and we still get stuff done. Okay?
Yeah, and it, I mean, but like, you know,
we're still people.
Yeah. We're still people. And I mean, like, some of the people I met, I was like, damn, like they're like, you know, owners of big companies and stuff like that. So, but
Jordan Belfort,
I had I had a setup for my accent will come out if I've been drinking from Boston, and I was setting it up. Mm-hmm. And Josh was like, "Yeah, dude, you don't have to give every, don't do the setup of like, fucking, oh, I grew up in Boston, just outside of Boston." He's like, "No," mm-hmm. he's like, "People are gonna pick it up, you know." It was like, and it was very good advice because like, the joke took too long.
Work for it,
yeah, and I was like, "No, I appreciate stuff like that
right.
from people that like have got a good ear." Mm-hmm. And you know, he said it like, you know, hey, we've done stuff like that, but I would take that from him in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
I'd run with it, but yeah. I'm not gonna take it from, you know.
Right.
I'll tell you later when I tell you the name. Yeah. When I tell you the Fair name, you're gonna go, sense. Whoa. Wow.
Me personally, I mean, yeah, like I said, I don't want anybody necessarily chiming in, but in general, I mean, as long as you pose it to me in a constructive manner and not just like, dude, this sucked, you should have done whatever. I'll at least listen. I mean, I'm not going to necessarily take it into consideration, but if it is good, hey, you know, I'll entertain it, and maybe if you're actually onto something, maybe we'll throw it in there. But but I appreciate it, you know, because it's like the crazy thing about comedy is you, like a lot of other things I do in my life, you always have to be grading yourself on it.
Yes. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's like, am I too easy on myself? Am I too hard?
I think
where am I at here? It's like you never know where you're at.
We're the hardest on ourselves.
Oh yeah.
Because I've had friends and people that have come to shows, and then you know they'll be like, "You crushed it," and I'm like,
"Like,
no,
you should have seen me last week."
Yeah,
or something,
I'm like,
you know?
"No, I didn't," and you know, and like you don't leave the stage with that feeling. So that's a very like you know when you have a good night or bad night, and if you feel on or off.
Well, especially if you're like, oh, this joke could have gone this way. You know, like I'm a super perfectionist is my problem. Mm-hmm. So like I record everything because I just like get too much in my head with my anxiety, and I'm just like, fuck. You know, like how did I do?
Mm-hmm. That's the hardest. And people, you know, you actually have to do that. You have to record yourself and go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
Or like we have the video. One of the things at Wicked Awesome Wednesday is I bring in somebody to tape it.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, I think it's good to have that, you know, someone else just taping it. And it's not like a friend with a cell phone type thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's a legit, okay, we're going to come in, we're going to tape it. And to go back and watch it. And I've actually gone back producing that show. Sometimes it's hard to hear everybody's sets.
Right.
You know, but to be able to go back and go, wow, that was a great show. I mean, I've been pretty fortunate. That show last night was like, the lineup was disgustingly awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was super. Yeah, like there was nobody that couldn't carry it on that show.
you can't always look back at the footage though and necessarily get the whole take. Yeah. And that's what's kind of hard for me, you know. It's like, I mean, you got to wonder, like your friends tell you to, sometimes you got to wonder, are they just fluffing you up there and you know, being nice? But every once in a while, it is kind of hard to tell when you're in the moment, you know. I don't know. Me personally, it's like maybe I just don't ever do that good. But
Sam always focused on not fainting or throwing up. Those are the two, and I'm like, cool, we got through that. How did my jokes go?
They're respectable goals.
Yeah, yeah. You got to start somewhere.
I shoot for laughs, settle for not throwing up, but I also settle for groans. Right. I get a lot of those.
Oh,
and then they leave.
I get a lot of people like looking around. They're like, oh god,
I need to be anywhere else but here.
This white guy just brought up race. I don't know. How do we feel about this, guys?
Jumping out the windows and stuff.
I don't know. Are we okay with this?
Yeah.
Someone just takes
That's
a
what
chair,
I get a lot of.
Throws it out the window and jumps out.
I did a set there. Probably the worst set I've ever done in my life was at
the Rendezvous.
At the Rendezvous, yeah.
Oh,
there. And there was only like five or six people in the audience, so there was like nothing really going on. I did this bit. I was at Taco Bell earlier this day, and this the most pretentious girl came in there ordering just ridiculous, you know. It was just a scene that went on and on and on. Right. And you were just like, what is she doing now? And it was one of those, and I just went through the whole thing, did not get one laugh the entire set, and they probably all thought I was the biggest asshole in the world. They're probably like, wow, that guy needs to be punched in the stomach.
Yeah.
That's Jesus. What I see when I see Aaron. I'm just like, he needs to be punched right in the gut.
This guy needs
just
a
like
fist right in the kisser.
Same result.
There you go.
Oh, right there, Fred.
Yeah, I think we've all had that.
Yeah. It's just part of the game. I mean, but the problem is, though, it's like there might have been something there in that bit, but I've never done it since.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't no, that like you
never done it since. Is that what you go? Is that what you kind of go with?
Yeah.
You go
with three. Oh, I read it somewhere. It was like some blogger. And they're like, try it three times. If it doesn't work, throw it out.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think one time is the proper amount, even if it is terrible, potentially.
That's true. There are definitely some jokes that don't need to be done once at all. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Jamie.
I did one at, I'm trying to think of that. I did one at Jai Tai one night on the open mic, and it was very self-serving. It was this whole thing about my accent and Wheel of Fortune. And of course, like, I was 28th on the list, so I'm playing to like fucking four comedians, the bartender, and like two people that stumbled
nice
in
couple,
for drunk food.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I'm up there, and you know, it's like, spin the wheel. I could never go on Wheel of Fortune because I was like, you know, pick a consonant. And it was like, it was a very self-serving, like, it was funny to me, and I was like, fuck, why did I do that? Same thing. I'm like, never again. Never, ever, ever.
That joke has just scarred you.
It totally did. It totally,
everyone
like,
else, I guess.
Yeah. I took my book and I burned it in effigy.
Oh, God. Yeah. Had a ceremony.
Yeah.
Like a Viking funeral.
Sacrificed it to the gods.
The thing is even if you do bomb, it's like everybody else forgets about that. Yeah. They're just like, oh, God, that person was bad. Okay, erase that from my memory. How's this guy now? Yeah. You know?
Right.
Whereas you, it's like you remember that. And then if you taped it too, you're like,
no.
Oh, God, you got to look at it and you just hear that.
What have I done?
Yeah.
And you can't even stomach it. You're just like, no, we're just going to delete that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I can reflect on it.
That never happened. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, man.
That shit can't come back to haunt
I've had
me.
A lot of those times at Jai Tai. Well, I can't go back to Jai Tai because I'm a creep. But the time before that.
Oh, my God. You could totally go back to Jai Tai.
You know, and the person. Okay, so like when I almost grabbed this comic's penis on accident. This is the nicest way to put it, I guess.
Almost on accident.
Almost on accident. No, I almost grabbed it and I screamed and ran away, which was the solution at the time. And I was like, I'm going to remedy this by reaching out to him on Facebook and being like, I'm just going to explain why I'm a creep. That's the idea. And so I was like, I'm so sorry for that. Wasn't supposed to be a weird. I'm weird. We can never talk again. But the person involved in that was like, no, it's fine. And then he ended up showing up at a show. And it just, I had like a 45-minute anxiety attack in my car, and then I left.
oh my God.
So I sat outside.
So it went
like,
about
this
as planned.
Yeah, it went better than I thought. unfortunately.
Only 45 minutes.
Only 45. It could have been at least an hour. And then I went home and cried. Okay, this is sounding really pathetic. But so we talked after that, and he was just like, oh yeah, we're totally chill. So that's the reason why I've 80.
Dude.
Yeah, he's a real good guy. Yeah. But like, that's the reason why I've 86'd myself. It's not like they threw me.
Right.
They should throw me out. But yeah, so like I could go back. I just can't. I tried once and I can't.
Guys can get over a lot of shit.
But see, I wonder though if that were me almost accidentally grabbing another
it would definitely go
penis.
Over much. It would definitely go over much.
Different. Right, it would go over right. Very different. That's
guys can get over stuff though. I was watching. I got sucked into these YouTube videos the other day. Oh, no. These girlfriends, they were taking their boyfriend's Xboxes
and throwing him in
and
pool?
They were smashing him.
Oh.
Yeah, they were smashing him with like a hammer, breaking him, doing all this shit to him. And they're filming the whole thing. They're filming the whole thing, and not only they film the whole thing, they get his reaction to it too. They show it to him and they film his reaction. Like they're sitting there and they have the phone right in his face. They're filming. How does it feel, Carl? How does it feel, huh?
Oh my God.
Huh? Do you like, huh? You going to play your stupid games now, huh? And I'm just
instead
like,
instead of ignoring me, you know.
And the craziest part is like, I bet none of those guys broke up with those girls.
No.
Dude,
I bet
I
none of them broke
up
with those girls.
Personally, because that's like, you don't respect my property and it's for like, what?
Destroyed
abuse?
Like a three.
Yeah.
I would hope though that I did something to deserve it.
Right. Yeah. That, like she like that's found out.
He probably left that day and he probably thought they were on really good terms when he left or something. Yeah. You know?
Like,
and she probably just went apeshit.
That's nuts.
It's like she was pretty docile.
Put the fucking seat down.
Right. God damn it. We've been living together for 3 months.
I know.
Yeah.
Plays his stupid game more than he pays attention to me.
That's probably what it was. Seriously. They're like, is this, who's Stephanie? Smash it with a hammer. I saw one. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's so good. I'm like, I do the same thing as you. I go down the rabbit hole with like fucking YouTube. I'll watch the weird shit and then like for some reason the next video and then like usually like three into it. It's
like, how did I get here?
getting sidetracked.
Totally different. You're like, oh, this video, you know, this guy's gonna scare his girlfriend all the time, and then it evolves into like people fucking scaring their kids with like clown masks and chainsaws and shit.
Jesus.
And I'm like, you are sick fucking people.
I'm going into child psychology, and that is not the way to do it.
Hey, you know,
are you going into psychology?
Yeah,
I wasn't sure because you've only said it seven times.
Oh yeah, it's reverse.
It's totally.
I want to make sure you know
your Jedi mind trick over there.
I'm going into psychology.
Listen, if you're gonna scar your kids,
gotta do it right.
You know, as long as you can get like 250, maybe 500k views, I mean, it's worth it.
They'll repress it anyway.
Yeah,
you gotta get them under five.
That residual YouTube money, that'll go to them someday.
That family, the famous, they're like the, I don't know, I follow them on Snapchat and I see their videos. It's like mother, father. The mother is a Latina.
Oh yeah, they're
the
Canadian.
Father, yeah. And then like the two kids, and the kids are like
so cute.
The kids are hilarious. Like the kids are genuinely funny. Mm-hmm. The daughter, like they're just so good, and they're like viral superstars. Anything that they do is amazing. And I'm thinking to myself, like that's the way you do it. Like go on and you know,
wholesome stuff,
that sort of thing.
Scary.
Like, I don't like kids to begin with. I hate kids.
See, I don't.
Kids are the meanest fucking people in the world.
They're also super honest.
But kids are right. Mm. They're super honest, but then, like, my dad used to say all the time, he'd be like, you know, kids never lie. Bullshit. I was a kid. I lied. Kids lie. Kids are shitty people.
Yeah, teenagers are pretty fucking terrible people. Yeah,
it's but, like they're finding out who they're trying to be, and that's the thing. Yeah. You know, like they don't.
Well, you, and it's like the learning. It's like the amount that they know, and the amount that they think they know are like the furthest off you can ever be.
No,
you know, because like I'm 30 now, and it's like I've finally realized how dumb I am, and so that's been, you know, pretty enlightening too. At least I've come together. You know, those paths have crossed finally.
Dude, for me, like the Facebook memories, like go back and see shit from 2008, 2009. I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna delete that.
Yeah,
so nobody knows
this.
I don't ever want to see this again.
Yeah,
I saw one the other day, and I was like, I was really into emo music. I still am, but like, I went on this My Chemical Romance kick, and I wrote this one poem that was just like, she stands, rusty dagger in hand. You know, her life is so horrible if she allows it to continue. And I was like,
sounds like a breakup note to one of your bisexual friends.
Probably. God damn it,
so
Pete.
Pete
did this. No, but it was actually before I ever dated anybody. But so that might be why. I just had so much sexual frustration. And I didn't know why.
Yeah, that's true. Had to vent and... in a nice soliloquy.
Yeah. I love it.
But I saw that and I was like, God, I was so angsty. But I'm like, I'm going to share this one so people know.
It's actually pretty crazy at this point. Like, Facebook actually goes back quite a ways. Like, it goes back to like 2007, 2006, depending on how early you adopted it. It's like, wow, that was a while ago.
Yeah, God.
That was a while ago.
You see, and I'm just like, I see. God, bad. Oh, it's so... so weird, like when you have your ex-husband and your ex-boyfriend are on like your feed and stuff, and it's like,
oh man,
oh shit, I don't want to see this. Like no. Every morning I look at it, and it's like, here goes what sort of stupid shit did I say in 2009, you know, that sort of thing.
Just
so,
like, God, I was so dumb. Yeah.
I mean, there's some good shit, but
that's true.
You know,
like stuff I forgot about. I'm like, oh shit, you know. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just mostly reminds me how fucking dumb I was.
Yeah, I used to watch a shit ton of television.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like I would watch certain shows with my ex husband and my ex boyfriend. And my ex boyfriend was more of the TV nut, like every reality show whatsoever.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. No, he's gonna listen to this podcast. It's fine because I always fuck with him. I'm like, dude, I have like 27 jokes about you. You should come to a show. Oh, but I actually had
it'll, be, a it'll turn into a roast.
I had a show that there was a very distinct possibility that my ex-husband, my ex-boyfriend, and a guy that I was hooking up with
would be there.
We're Jesus, all going to be at the same show.
Trying to have
show.
A brawl breakout?
And you know what?
What are you thinking, you psycho?
My ex-husband,
you can't overbook like that.
My ex-husband and one my ex-boyfriend. Well, it was like they just were going to be at the show. It was at the private show that I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because
well, that explains the three
yeah,
dudes.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, man. And I was like, but they're, I mean, they're friends. They get along. And
they
but,
all
but
are I, friends together?
No. My ex-husband and my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, I was like, oh, man.
I wouldn't introduce him with
like,
friends.
Like, how about you tell us why benefits. It ended? You tell us. Yeah.
But no, he was a huge TV guy. Like, mm-hmm. I remember, and it was like clockwork. We would watch like Survivor and the Real World Road Rules or whatever, the Challenge, and
right.
all this, like certain shows that we would watch all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was actually kind of happy when he dumped me because I'm like, I don't have to watch TV anymore.
Oh, so
much free time. I honestly feel like it makes me dumb. So I don't watch
TV. Reality TV shows.
Absolutely, dude.
I watch.
Absolutely. You're burning brain cells.
I watch pretty much documentaries because I want to learn.
Yeah.
So like my Netflix queue is either stand up or documentaries.
Me too.
Or I'm going to binge watch. Like there's certain things I'll binge watch. Mm-hmm. Like The Blacklist. I love The Blacklist. But I'm going to binge watch it. It's going to be in my head for 2 days and then I'm done.
Then
like I'm not investing. Then I can go right back to, you know, like Documentary Central.
Right.
I'm not going to invest. Like I don't even have cable. Don't have cable.
Me either. Yeah.
That's kind of stupid.
I also don't have internet right now because Comcast can't come out till November. So.
Oh, wow.
November? Is that your only option?
That
Jesus.
Was literally, they were like, oh, we don't have any of the wires to set it up at your new house. So see you in 2 months. And I was like, wow. Okay.
Wires? Don't you guys have a million?
I've
million?
Used so much data on my phone. Can't just not have internet. And mm-hmm. like, it's horrible. But like, I haven't had cable for a while. Yeah. But like when I did, I was just watching stupid shit like all the time.
Yeah, it's a relief.
And like now it's, for me, it's like mostly documentaries, mostly stand up and like cooking shows. Yeah. That's like the thing.
Right. But I would sit there, like I would watch like Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives.
Right. Cause it was on.
It was on. And I'm like, I don't even like this douchebag.
Yeah.
Like,
hi, I'm God Vianney. Yeah, my hair's crazy. Yeah. I speak loudly. Sorry. Diners, Drive-Ins, Dives.
Sorry if you're a fan of the podcast guy, but
yeah.
Can you imagine fucking you get like hate mail?
We'll have to edit that out in post.
Know, right? Yeah.
It's fine.
Guy Fieri.
I got a lot of work ahead of me here on this one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this just
there's
too...
15 minutes we can use.
Yeah. God, right?
Yeah. We're going to go for another
edit
2 hours.
All this. I want to have a career. Let's do that.
There's just two, these reality shows these days, though. It's just fucking too much, man. They're completely out of control. Yeah. Like, I go to the gym, and every time I use the elliptical machine, it's always on right TLC. There. And the reality shows they have on that network are fucking ridiculous.
Like My Strange
like,
Addiction.
Like they were all, oh, my God.
That's a great.
Like they were kind of onto something with John and Kate. You know, maybe they had a little something there for a while, a little bit of magic. But
now it's just John minus nine. And Kate and her.
And that just shows you, too. Yeah, and that just shows you what these reality shows really are and what they turn into,
well,
you know?
It's also, so well, they bad. Also, people that have multiples, so like twins or more in one go, they're like, one out of two get divorced. Like it's literally like half of the couples that have multiples get divorced.
Yeah,
which is insane.
Even if they're not twins,
you blame
well,
them.
Well, no, like if they have like twins or if they like triplets, quadruplets or whatever. Yeah,
because
oh.
you know that there's nothing but fights in that house.
Yeah, it's too
you
much.
Get up and fucking change them.
Yeah. Like both of them, all three.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I could see that as being a thing. That's
But yeah, so it's like, it's like they're more likely to get divorced anyway. Also, Kate was hella a bitch. Like, I would I don't deal well with conflict, and I watched that show because like I'm from I'm a large family, right? So it's like, oh, we had 10 in my family, but we were all separate stuff. Yeah. My parents were still together.
Is your last name Duggar?
Duggar. Oh God. No, but
that,
we actually get.
But isn't that funny? Like, insane. I mean, it's kind of sick, but like how quick the plug gets pulled on shit when they
right?
like they vet
like,
these
oh,
things
shit's
out.
Happening.
And, yeah, they're like, oh hey, yeah, honey boo boo, fuck up. June bugs with a child molester, and then fucking boom, they pull the plug. Or like the Duggars, Like, I mean, come on. There's 19 of them. You knew he was diddling somebody.
That's right. How indispensable these shows are, though. Yeah. It's just plug and pull.
Oh, they pack up and get out. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, good luck with your, 15
Right, for
kids.
The rest of, yeah. Yeah. Totally 15 minutes, so.
Yeah.
No, yeah. But you're right. I can't. It's so mind numbing to see the reality stuff. And I have a friend.
It's a full time job just to stay up on a good portion of what's going on. It's insanity.
I have a friend that was on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, yeah.
And he did that show. And yeah, it was pretty insightful. He was like, we knew from day one. Like, you knew where you were going to fall in the pecking order and the shit that they would reshoot, and they wanted to put somebody in a negative light, they could.
Oh, easily.
And
get stuff out
of context. And they would take spin things exactly. And it was just like, yeah. My closest call was, I made it to the second round of auditions for The Biggest Loser.
Oh.
Yeah. And cool. Then I got told I wasn't fat enough. Like that's a blow to the ego. Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then
I'm not a loser right. after all. Yeah.
But when they tell you, yeah, so I celebrated with a burger right after I heard that. But yeah,
I'll show you guys.
I'll show
you guys.
And it was a macaroni and cheese stuffed burger.
Oh my gosh. See, you should have just brought that to your. See? I can do it. Give me 3 weeks.
That's true.
Someday.
Yeah, you should have showed up for the last audition with a bucket of KFC.
I bulked up. Yeah. I put on a little bit of weight beforehand and. Yeah, they were like, no, you're not fat enough. We want people that can lose like half their body weight. And I was like, ooh, shit, yeah. No, I would look like fucking Tom Hanks at the end of Philadelphia. It would be terrible. Or at Levi Manis. Okay? Same thing. I would look as skinny as Leah. I couldn't, there's no way I could lose half my body weight.
Levi.
Yeah. Poor Levi. Levi is so skinny.
I worry about him sometimes.
Nah.
But I love him.
He eats nothing but pizza.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, how do you...
He sleeps 3 hours a day. He
right?
eats pizza. And he's fucking hilarious.
And he's out grinding, all the time.
Oh, yeah,
do you eat, pizza and then just... You work constantly.
Guys, yeah. I don't know how... I'm unemployed right now. I have the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting rich with the t-shirt company.
Right.
I'm unemployed and I fucking do stand up. I produce some shows and that's how I make a living. But let's not kid ourselves. Other than looking for work, my time is pretty flexible. But you see some of these guys who are they're out there, that's hard. You're like, if you're up, what time do you get up, Aaron? You get up at 6:05?
About 6:30.
Okay, so you get up about 6:30 and you get out there and you fucking work your ass off for eight, ten hours. And, and then you go and you do a mic or something. It's like, that's a grind.
Yeah.
So right. I respect those guys that have, there are a lot of comedians that don't, but the guys that have regular gigs.
Yeah, they do it 5 nights a week. I get worn out from 3. I limit myself to 3 or else I don't have any energy. I get too nervous for it.
I don't necessarily feel bad for the comedians that overload themselves with projects.
Right.
Because it's you did it to yourself.
Yeah, I know, it's self-defeating.
Yeah, but when you get Levi is the perfect example of that. Like, God, the guy's every day, he's doing show stuff and here, there, but then he's also doing mics and he's, shit, that's a grind.
Yeah, he's out there.
Or the ones with kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The ones with kids, shit.
I can barely take care of myself, let alone a comedy career.
Yeah, when you're trying to get a babysitter to go to a show, it's shit. If you're single parent or bringing the kid to a show, it's that's hard. That's dedication, but kudos to you because all I had to do is walk my fat ass up a block and take a bus.
Right.
That was the extent of it. Sometimes the hardest decision in my day is pants or shorts. it's not anything challenging.
Mine's live or death.
Do I want grape drink or pink lemonade? That's the challenge, Crystal Light.
Yeah. It's a pretty good one.
And they're running around. So yeah, I respect that. The comics that have regular jobs.
It wears you down, though, man. That shit fucking, when you're burning both ends of the candle, it's fucked. Yeah. Yesterday, I got off of work. I was home. I had to get ready. I was home for 20 minutes. And then I took off and headed down for that show, was there, went to the show, got a drink with my buddy afterwards, and then I got home at 11 o'clock, and
it's
I've been home at 20 minutes, and then it's all right, 6 o'clock, let's back at it, let's do it again.
And then when you write the rent check, you're like, motherfucker, I'm never here.
Yeah.
Right?
But, the only, as long as you got to be getting good sleep. That is fucking crucial, because otherwise, yeah, you're not going to make it. By the end of the week, you're just exhausted. Yeah. Like, even if I'm getting like 6 hours a couple nights in a row, that'll even start to wear on me a little bit.
Yeah. Honestly, know? Like, I was staying with my sister and her 4 kids for months before I got my place now. And I was living in Ellensburg and working in Redmond. So it just, I could not go from Ellensburg to and from every day. And so, like, I would, and her kids, like, never sleep. Like, they're feral, I'm pretty sure. Like, they have not had their vaccines.
What's that beer store? Happy's or something?
Yeah.
In Ellensburg?
Yeah, Happy's. Yeah, they got like teriyaki
just,
there.
Yeah, I was just out in Ellensburg a couple months ago. No, it's actually pretty cool.
No, it's cool. If you
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what was that? Just wearing you down?
Yeah, right. Like, honestly, I was just getting sick all the time. I was running on like 3 hours of sleep because your kids never go to bed on time. So like I would come home from like, and to be fair, I was also doing comedy like 5 nights a week, and like not necessarily performing, but going out to shows like 6 nights a week. And then like I would go out and hang out with people after, and then I'd come home at like 3.
Were you the cool aunt or like?
Yeah.
See, I would.
See, my nieces. Well, I worry about their kids sometimes, but like my nieces, like they got to the point where they're calling me mommy because like I was taking care of.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, it, like
never,
my nieces
would never
too,
happen and, to me with my nieces and nephews.
Right?
No.
Like it, and it worries me because like I don't live there anymore, so it's like you know, like I worry if they're still getting that needs met, you know. But yeah, it was like
you like to think that they are. Let's think positive here.
Yeah, that's probably fine, right? But yeah, so like that kind of stuff. It was also wearing me down to be like a single mom of 4 kids at 23. I was not expecting that. Not like every parent.
Quite the load. Quite the load there.
Right.
Yeah, you'd be getting your own reality show for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Kelsey plus 4.
Yeah. Kelsey Quattro.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Right, it'll be great.
Good. It's you got to get that sleep though, man. But
super important.
It's tough sometimes. Yeah, I'll get home, hang out for maybe 45 minutes, an hour if I got a little extra time.
Right.
If I can't squeeze a gym run in, and I'm sitting on the couch, I'm like, am I really gonna get up and fucking drive?
I would
35 minutes to do something for free
couch
that I might end up embarrassing myself with.
Well, that's me every time I've embarrassed myself.
I kind of did a bit, and I haven't done it in a while. I should probably freshen it up, but it was about, I'm like, seriously, stand-up comedians and drag queens, they're like the only group of people that will fucking drive 90 minutes one way for fucking 5 minutes of stage time with no pay.
Right.
And no drink ticket, no nothing, just fucking for that 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And like, so when people get down on like heroin junkies and stuff, I'm like, you don't know.
You don't know the
fucking struggle, man, because this shit's hard to break, right?
Yeah. Because
it's like you want to go and you want to do shows and you want to, you know, you want to be part of it. But then like I've gone to some pretty weird fucking places for no pay and, you know.
Gotta,
far off. And
you got to ride that struggle, though.
It's a fucking grind, yeah. Like we said.
Right? No, I want to get to the point where, like, homeless people will feel bad for me. You know, like, I want to get that worn out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just look completely haggard.
You're like, here, have this dollar.
Seriously.
You've
need
been
it.
Driving 90 minutes to go. Yeah.
Life has you on your last rope.
Yeah. One day. Hopefully. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Damn.
You got to do that, though. I wonder, though, how long do you have that? I mean, everybody's got to have that period at least for a little while where you're hitting it pretty hard like that. I mean, this week I've gone to 4, performed at 3 shows, and then I got a show tomorrow. Yeah. So, but that's like the most for me. And I mean, I guess I handled it all right, but there's obviously other shit I didn't do that. Yeah. You know, so it's like there's just not enough fucking time, man. A day job is such a time suck, you know, obviously. I mean, you know, you're putting in your 40 every week, but it's like you're so much less available for anything else once you've committed to a job like that, you know.
Well, especially, totally. Like, I get weekends off, and I'm really happy that I do get that, but it's like, like, I'll go to, like, the 907, and it's such a fun room. Like, I have a hard time leaving before, like, midnight. And then I'm like, I have to get up in 6 hours. Like, it's hard, too, that you to have the energy and to be able to stay out late. Like, if you have, like, an after party after a show, it's hard to
there's a
like
lot.
I
there's a lot of shows, too, that, you know, you get some shows. You know, there's a variety talent thing at Neighbors up on Capitol Hill on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And, like, I've just heard, like, there's like a contest and money or something, and but like they don't announce the winner till like 5 minutes to 2.
Oh man,
I can't do that.
Right?
Like,
Yeah,
I
mean, that's insane.
I have, yeah, I'm like, I have a dog and a Netflix account.
I got shit to do.
Netflix account needs to be tended.
Yeah. Documentaries, you know.
See? Yeah, and you don't want to be that person who like goes to the show and then you do your set and then you just immediately dip.
No.
Like,
yeah,
like that that pisses me. I mean, I understand everybody has those moments. You know, it's like, hey, I had to be somewhere else. You know, I had to get out of there. But the person who does that every single time, that fucking, it just kills me. It's like,
I've heard of it, like, as regarded as disrespect, because like you're there and you want people to listen to your set, but then you leave. You know, like that's kind of how
you got to give something to the whole. You know,
right. So you
not
have to just support other,
not just the
too.
5 minutes that you took.
Right.
You know, from the show, you got to give something in
producing a show. I've actually had comics come up and say, "Hey, man, is it cool if I leave? Because I've got," and like it, like yeah, absolutely. But I get it. Like, you know, but they're very conscious of the of that. And then I've actually worked with some comedians that. We've done like 5 or 6 shows, and then on like the 7th show that we're booked on at the same show, and they'll be like, "That's the first time I've ever seen you." Like I've ne- and I'm like, "Well, where the fuck have you been?" You know, but it's just timing wise. If they're up early, you know, and you're always gonna get comics. The ones that hustle, I appreciate the hustle. I don't know if it's me that I'm 41, fat, whatever, or just don't have that in me anymore. But
right.
I can't, like, the ones that are like, "Hey, man, I really want to do your show, but I also want to, like, get up and get on the list of Jai Tai."
Yeah, or like two shows a night.
I did that, I'm not going to mention their names either because it's crazy, but there's two comedians that I did. We were basically, I was at Jai Tai just to watch that night. I wasn't even going up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "Yeah, we're going to go here, and then let's get up to Three Lions." So we ran up for Three Lions. It was like the second week that Three Lions was going.
Right.
We fucking had to fly up there. We got in. Kirk would put us on, boom, boom, boom. And then we're a fucking piece out all the way back down to Capitol Hill so that they could make their set.
Wow. Jesus.
And I'm like, that's fucking, like, we almost died.
Right, yeah. Like going like driving.
That's dedication. Yeah, and I'm just like, no shit. I'm like, I don't have that in me.
Yeah.
See, yeah, it's too much.
Well, and you got to be careful, yeah, because there's a fine line. Like, you can, it's not, it doesn't just equate one to one. Like, you go to the most shows and you will be the best. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Out.
Like, you got to walk a fine line.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I've done 1 week where I did 2 shows a night for like 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
Really?
And 2 were showcases. So I was like, I cannot keep doing this, you know, like, cause I get so worked up about the showcase and I get so worked up about open mics, you know, I just get too nervous about it. So yeah, like I just like, it's too much for me. I really, really appreciate people that can do that. Like consistently. Like I know people that do like 2 mics a couple times a week and I couldn't do that long term.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah, you gotta find the number that works for you. You know, everybody's definitely a little bit different, but you definitely need to be getting at least 2 or 3 times a week. I feel if you want to really be improving. I mean, you can go once a week and maintain, but you're not gonna really go anywhere unless you're writing a lot.
Speaking of maintain, I was gonna make fun of Blake for doing a bathroom break, but
doing it. No, if you know what, it's I was actually speaking of mics, I was actually thinking about swinging by the asylum here. I think they just got started, so
yeah.
Before we get a little too long in the tooth here, why don't we just kind of wrap this up, because I'm in the same boat as you. So, but thank you guys for joining me here.
Awesome.
You guys appreciated it. Yeah, you guys came through in the clutch here. Sometimes you got to call an audible and you got to have some good names to call, and
seriously,
you guys were 2 of the best.
That's
so
awesome. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you guys, everybody, for joining us. So you guys, last week I was telling everybody to write into the show, give us an email, and the genius that I am didn't tell what the email address was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that makes it a little tough for people to run in, you know.
Send them out into the sky.
Yeah, exactly. Send us good vibes, all right? Just send us good vibes, you know.
We'll
they'll reach us
our
eventually.
Chakras will get wiped.
Yeah, no. So my apologies, amateur hour over here, but send us your emails. You guys got any topics that you want us to discuss? You got a question for us? Anything you think would be interesting? Just let us know. Anything crazy going on in your life? You know, is just Is your mom a hoarder? You know, is your sister?
Didn't see that that was going towards hoarder. I thought
I was thinking Strange Addictions, you know, because we did talk about that. So I thought maybe a callback there.
Yes.
Maybe a couch, you know, so some of your family's a couch eater. You know, that'd be
like a euphemism for something.
Yeah, the couch eater and couch eater,
eating out fat lesbians or something.
The inflatables.
Not carpet munchers. Yeah. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, but send us an email if you would. Let us know what you guys got. All right, we want you to get involved here.
What's the email
address? Thank you for checking me on that. Is an earful in ecity at gmail. Okay. An earful in ecity at gmail. So send us in, you guys. We'll get you in the show here. No matter how crazy it is. Well, hey, you know, we're open to that too. I also got a private account that we can discuss later for that. Yeah. But thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it. Earful in the Emerald City, episode number 48 here, guys. We're creeping up on a year. Thank you for joining us. Jamie, Kelsey, thank you guys for joining us. And we are out of here. We'll see you guys later.